I can feel the specter of my editor over me being like, be quiet.
Hi, and welcome to Literary Hype. I am Stephanie, your literary hype woman, and today's author conversation is with an author that I got to host a panel for, and that is Joelle Wellington. She wrote Their Vicious Games, so we did a panel at New York Comic Con, and this shiny book got signed there. So we decided to meet up for a few minutes at Y'all Fest 2023 in Charleston, South Carolina, to talk about the shenanigans that happen in this book, and there are a lot. And just kind of hang out and get to know Joelle a little bit. So here's my conversation with Joelle.
You are at Y'all Fest as an invited guest.
Yes, I am at Y'all Fest.
What is it like for you, for your debut to book, to get this kind of enthusiasm behind it?
It's so, like, I don't know. I feel like I've gaslit myself into thinking that no one reads my books. And then I continue to move through the world that way. And then I'm on the way to breakfast and somebody's like, Joelle? And I'm like, what? And I turn around and it's like, we thought we recognized you. It's like, I don't know you. Like that kind of thing. Like, I'm like, oh, people do read my books. And like, it's just such an honor. I'm so excited to be here.
I mean, it's a good book.
Thank you.
Your novel that is out in the world now is called Their Vicious Games. So for anybody who hasn't seen it, which I don't understand if you haven't seen it, because I am getting spammed by it and I have two copies. Like, I get the targeted ads for it. So tell us about Their Vicious Games.
Okay, so Their Vicious Games is... people keep calling it a dark academia, which I guess.
It has the vibe.
It has the vibe. But it is a satirical thriller about a young black girl named Medina Walker who has lost her acceptance to her college of choice. And to get it back, she has to enter a competition called The Finish, which she thinks is like different like word teasers and etiquette lessons. But really, it's a game of deadly proportions.
It's like Hunger Games meets The Bachelor with dark academia.
Exactly. Lives. Heavy on The Bachelor. Heavy on The Bachelor. I always knew, I'm like, but remember, The Bachelor, they're fighting over a man. So.
To the death.
To the death.
How did you come up with this story idea?
I watched the movie Ready or Not, which is one of my favorite movies, but I had always thought that it hadn't pushed farther enough in terms of its themes. It's about a young woman who marries into a very wealthy family, and she's hunted in a game of hide and seek by her in-laws. And I thought it was like a really interesting commentary on class, but it didn't push hard enough on that. It was just like a bit of fun. And so I really wanted to like really push that. And at the same time as the pandemic, and I was watching my comfort watches, which is The Bachelor. And so I combined those things because I was like, that would be fun.
And I understand that Their Vicious Games was not your first choice in title.
No.
And you did something very dramatic because you were so sold on your title. You want to talk about that?
Yes. So first of all, the original title was Bloodsport, which I have tattooed on my body.
Right there.
Right here. Because I loved it so much and I was so attached. But when we were talking about it, my editor was like, hey, I am so sorry, but we have to change the title. And I was like, what do you mean? She was like, well, SEO purposes, like when you search Bloodsport, your name's not going to pop up. Sylvester Stallone's 1970-something film is going to pop up. And I was like, okay, what does that have to do with me? She was like, that means you can't have this title. And they kept sending me titles that I could not. I was like, what is this? And we were like sitting there for like 6 weeks going back and forth until finally I sent in a very long list of titles and was like, pick. And from that, we got to Their Vicious Games.
What is the process like for you as a debut to try to push for what you want? And how does that, like, learning how to push for what you mm-hmm. want for your book?
I have an amazing agent who, like, holds my hand through it. Because I remember as soon as she told me what they were, like, the options were, I was like, no, it all sounds like Mortal Kombat finishing phrases. Like, I finished them? What does that mean? No, I don't want that. And she very much advocated for me, but also told me that if I'm going to go really hard on this, that means I'm going to have to give in other places. Luckily, I adored my cover from the start. Like, I didn't have any thoughts about the cover. I was like, just show me something. And it was perfect. It was literally the cover that we still have to this day. And so I just was like in awe and so excited. So I didn't really have to give up that much because they, like, the cover was just so beautiful.
It's a great cover, especially like the finished one when it's mm-hmm. shimmery.
I Love
and
it.
It's like a really good hint.
Yes, of what's to come.
Yeah, it's a great hint. And I once I got there, I was like, brilliant.
Yes.
Brilliant. Great job on the cover. How much research went into Their Vicious Games?
None, because I lived it.
Oh, do tell.
So I went to a private school growing up from 6th through 12th grade. I was the scholarship kid. And so a lot of like the real heavy stuff like about class and race, like I experienced, I went through that. And so I just was like, how do I make this cathartic in a way? While also being honest, but also keeping it light, because I want people to still be like, oh, this book is funny. Like, I want people to be like, this book is crazy and insane, but also darkly hilarious. And that's really important to me. So that was a huge part of it. I think the only thing I researched was like horses, but I've also horseback. I have done that. The only thing I really looked at was like how to structure the ride, which is based on a Czechoslovakian race, I believe, that I can't pronounce the name of, but that's where I got the Texas ditch from. So yeah.
How do you take care of your mental health when you're writing such dark books?
My friends, I go out a lot. Like, I'm like if I need a break, I'm like, okay, who can I like text right now where I'm like, I need to leave the house and do something fun. And it's funny because I'm like not a particularly dark person, so that also helps. I'm very cheery. I'm very cheerful. So
very, very fun. Very fun.
Yes. So it's always funny when people are like, that's so interesting that you write that, because that is not the vibe you give. And I'm like, I'm a happy person. Like, but yeah, I have a really great support system where I'm always like, let's go do something fun. Let's like,
get in Loser, we're going shopping.
Yeah, exactly that. I'm like, let's go shopping. Let's go eat. Let's go laser tagging. Like, I went upstate to Cold Spring, New York for a day because I was like, I don't want to be in this city. I don't want to write. Like, let's go do something.
So you got to make a New York Comic Con appearance where I
went
to be your moderator. It was a grand old time. What's it like for you as like a brand new author to get to be on that kind of a level of stage?
It's really intimidating. Someone came up to me and they had like went through it and annotated my book, and I was like, why? Like, what do you mean? Like, this, it's just so weird. I don't know. I just feel like I haven't, like, I don't know. I'm always honored when people are like, yeah, we want you. I'm like, oh, but for what? Like, what do you mean?
Jennifer Lawrence, what do you mean?
Exactly.
What do you mean?
What do you mean by that? What do you mean?
Why are you shaking it?
Exactly that meme. Like, that's me. I'm Jennifer Lawrence. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, but yeah.
So as a debut, what did you learn through this process that you wish you would have known before you started writing the book?
Oh my God. Write your second book before you think you have to write it. That was hard. I thought I was above the sophomore or something. I'm not. And all my friends were like, no, like, you're very efficient, but no, everyone has a hard time with book two. And I had a hard time. And I wish I had started it way before I did, because it ended up being handed in late. And so, like, my editor was like, no, we built in time for that. We knew. But also, because it is common, like, even if I'm like, oh, it won't be me, it will. And I wish I'd started earlier. Like, I think about that constantly. I'm like, oh.
So what did you learn from other authors that has helped you get through this first book and in through turning in your second book?
Oh my God, don't kill myself. That's what they are like, don't kill yourself to like push this book. I have heard that constantly. They're like, take a break, say no. That was like a big piece of advice that a lot of my friends gave me, and authors, they were like, pace yourself, because it can get really overwhelming because you want to say yes to everything because it's your first book and you're like, what if I don't get this chance again? But like really learning like my own limitations and like reminding myself constantly that it's out there already. Like, if I can't do something, it's okay. Like, that's been very helpful.
What would you give advice? Would you give to others who are wanting to get published?
Take a break is the best advice. My friend Cameron Garrett tells me that all the time, because I'm always like, this is what I'm working on. She's like, breathe. I'm like, all right.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, she's always like, you need to relax. Like, you don't have to do it right now. And my piece of advice that I give everyone, especially to people who want to write, is read more. which is something I always have to remind myself to do. I feel like when you become an author, it is really hard to read still because you have so many deadlines. But I really do make out time every single day to read for like an hour. Because I feel like it informs your writing in a, like the things you want to write and the things you don't. And both are equally important to know. I cannot read that fast. I used to be able to when I was younger, but now I'm like, I feel like I've slowed down so much. Like, I can still write fast, but like reading, I'm like, I'm reading every single word on a page when that's not necessary. I've learned that like to understand a sentence, you only need the first like few words and the last few words in a mm-hmm. sentence. I don't know why I'm lingering over ands and thes. Like, what am I doing?
In researching you for the panel, I learned that you also love string art and crochet. And
yeah.
I can't crochet very well, but I knit. So how does that help you with your creative process as a writer?
Oh, whenever I am like stumped, because I don't really believe in writer's block. Like whenever I'm stumped by something, I will like talk to myself while I crochet to like work through it. Or I'll be listening to my playlist for my book to work through it. Because I just feel like at a certain point, like now that writing is my job, it can't really be a hobby anymore. And so I'm like, I need a hobby that has nothing to do with a computer and that's like physical, something I can do with my hands, and that's crochet. And it really, really is helpful. Like, and I love it. And I make like bags and I like don't even use them myself. I give them to my sister and she's like, thanks. And she'll use it. I'll see it on her Instagram. And I'm like, nice.
Good. Do you have a favorite piece that you've done?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Over the summer, I made, like, a lavender crochet, like, shoulder bag. You know, like, how Y2K is really in?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I made one of those for my sister.
Crochet takes up too much of my mental space.
Yeah.
Like, I can knit in a movie and just, like,
knitting,
zone out.
Knitting, I can't knit.
I feel like people do one or the other. People who yeah. do both are, like, super talented, and I wish I was you.
Yeah, my friend knits, too, and I'm like, I don't understand the hand of it all. Like, I can't do it. Like, and I know that there are certain projects where you have to knit to do it. And so I'm like, I'm never going to make a sweater. Like, because you can't crochet that. Not how you want it to look. So I'm like, I'm never making a sweater. And that sucks.
Do you have any secrets for how you keep the tension on the yarn equal throughout the whole project?
Oh, my God.
Or do you still struggle with that?
No, I struggle with it, but also I sit on the end of the string.
There you go.
Yeah, I sit on the end of the yarn. I keep it under my thigh.
That's really smart,
to keep it there. So it's always, like, really, like, you know, when you start your loop, you're supposed to start towards the end. I start really far in so that I can sit on it.
That's
and keep
really
it.
Smart.
And I just keep the yarn, and I'll like, weave it in somehow. Like, I'll use it for button, like, something. But, yeah, I keep it really long so that, like, and I'm not moving. It's not like I'm moving my body weight, so I'm just sitting there. So I'm like, it'll stay.
Another thing I saw on your Instagram was that you like to go out to eat alone.
Yeah.
I do as well. And people think it's so weird. Why is it important to you to be able to do that without people, like, without feeling
okay,
weird doing
yes.
it?
Yes. So this is something that I just started doing. Like, it was part of my list, like, my in and out list of the year where I was, like, in eating alone. And it's because I think it's so important to learn how to sit with your own thoughts. I know it's like really uncomfortable, and we're in a culture where it's like simultaneously like really solitary, like isolationist, but also like move as a group pack mentality. But I think it's really important to be able to just sit in your own thoughts and like have experiences that are just for yourself. So I go to the movies alone. I will go to a store alone. I will eat alone. And I try and do that like once a month, just because like, yeah, it's an uncomfortable thing, but I think it's important that you become comfortable with yourself.
I didn't realize how subversive it was
mm-hmm.
until people started thanking me for being a like inspiring them to do it, like just to go sit mm-hmm. at dinner and eat and read. And they're mm-hmm. like, that's so cool that you're strong enough in yourself to do that. And I didn't think about it that way. And then when you posted that, I was like, okay.
Yeah. I didn't realize either. But then I was like, it's funny because I'll go to a restaurant in the city, like right before I have to like plans or something. And I'll eat alone. And they're like, are you waiting on anyone? I'm like, no, like it's me. Like, what do you mean? Like, it's fine. And they're like, oh, and I'm like,
why are we like that?
No, yeah, I'm like, it's fine. Like,
it's not a big deal, people.
Yeah, I'm like, you're still going to get a tip. Like, you're good.
Yeah.
Like,
don't be weird about it.
Yeah. I think it's really important to just, like, learn how to be by yourself and with your own thoughts and not be afraid of that.
So, Sophomore Slump, talk to us about the second book and what you got cooking.
The Blonde Dies First is going to be my sophomore book. I really love it. It is a horror thriller, horror comedy thing that is an homage to the genre of horror and also the place I grew up, Brooklyn. And it's sapphic, which I'm really excited for. And it's based, it was really, like, I've had the idea since I sold Their Vicious Games, but I didn't have, like, a story. I just had this premise of this group of teenagers being, like, chased through Brooklyn by a demon. And I was like, yeah, that's not a real premise. Like, that doesn't mean anything. But basically, I ended up coming to the character of Devin, who has a twin sister named Drew, who goes to a private school and has graduated a whole year earlier. And so to hide her devastation around that, she is very intent on Drew having the last best summer ever. And so to prove that to her sister that she's like down for anything, they go to a party where a Ouija board is pulled out. And the host of the party accidentally summons a demon that attaches itself to the friend group and chases them through Brooklyn. And the demon is actually hunting them in the order of traditional slasher movie kills. Henceforth, the blonde, who is Devin, dies first.
What is it about horror thriller genre that you love so much?
I just think that it's so fun and so subversive. And I feel like for so long, like, horror has been like a very like hallmark and like a home for queer people. And I just feel like I can write anything in that genre, and I can push like themes, and I can explore darker things without feeling weird. And I also think it always reflects societal fears at a given time. Like, you think about any movie and the time that it takes place in, it reflects those societal fears. And I think that's so interesting and fun to explore and play with, because there are less rules with horror. The only rule is be scary, as opposed to other genres, which I feel like have much starker like genre convention.
Do you ever do any like psychological readings to try to help shape your characters?
For this book, I read a lot about twins and like inferiority complexes and like just things like that, and like parental relationships with twins and how they treat them differently. So I read a lot about that, but a lot of the stuff I just kind of reach within and I'm like, what is the scariest, goriest thing I can come up with? And so much this book in particular, my editor is like, pull it back, because I really went there with my first draft, and she was like, Joelle, oh my god, relax. And I was like, no, but she's like, Thriller 2, remember it's a Thriller 2. And it's like, I know. But yeah, I definitely had to pull back a little bit with this one.
And did it feel like YA was a constraint on what you could do, get away with on this one?
This one, yeah. Even though I know that Their Vicious Games goes there, it's pretty bad. But this one, I was like, oh, yikes. Because I really, like, I already touch on so much, like, touchy stuff in this book that I was like, I need to pick and choose my battles here. Because it can't just be all out. Like, I got real gory at certain points, and I was like, this might be gratuitous.
Is there anything you can share that you cut? Are you holding it on for it for another novel in the future?
No, I won't. A death sequence in which the demon went inside the mouth of a person and blew up the insides and then came back out of the mouth.
Okay, I feel some Gen Z, or not Gen Z, Gen V.
Yeah.
Like, the boys vibes.
Yeah, yes. Very that. Oh, man, I love those shows. But unfortunately, yes, very that. And that's why I was like, I played up the comedy aspect more with the new version of the death, which I like equally as much, if not more, because it's far funnier. Far funnier than what it was.
I mean, we love some good funny moments in these horror books. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
I don't know. I feel like I can't share that much about The Blonde Dies First. I can feel the specter of my editor over me being like, be quiet. Because during my launch, they were like, what's next? And she's like lurking in the back of the bookstore. And I'm like, can I say? And she's like, no. And I was like, okay.
And we don't want you to get in trouble. We want the scoop, but we don't want you to get in trouble.
Exactly. Like, I feel her ghost being like, Joelle, shh. So.
And it comes out the day before my birthday.
Yes, July 30th.
Happy birthday to me. It's going to be a good book day because J.C. Lee's got a book coming out that day too.
Yes.
Good book day for me. So the last question we always ask.
Yes.
Because this is literary hype. Mm-hmm. What books are you hyped about?
Okay, so I am currently reading Rouge by Mona Awad. Because I always try and read one adult book because I'm trying to write adult eventually. So I'm like, let me stay on top of that. And then the book I'm like currently reading every time I walk anywhere is Where Sleeping Girls Lie by Farida, my friend. It is so good.
I'm very excited. I need it. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your y'all fest.
Thank you for having me. This was such a fun conversation.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Jillwell for hanging out with me at Y'all Fest 2023. It was so much fun getting to catch up with her and see what's going on. And like that tattoo story, right? Like, that's crazy. And I am extremely looking forward to her shenanigans that she had to pull back for her second book. So if you want to follow Joelle,
those links are down in the show notes,
as well as a link to get a hold of this book for yourself, which you should. It's a good one.
If you enjoyed this conversation, don't forget to subscribe to the Literary Hype Podcast and give us some stars. Thanks for listening to the Literary Hype Podcast. I'm Stephanie. Have a great day.